Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
This word is very simple. It's grace to you. Grace to you. We're going to walk in the fullness of God's grace in these last few days of this year. We're going to walk in the fullness of God's grace right into the new year. Grace to you. No matter what's coming against you, grace is coming to you. No matter who's been against you, grace is coming to you. No matter what weapons that have been formed against you, grace is coming to you. No matter what your body is doing, grace is coming to you in your body physically. Grace is coming to you in your mind emotionally. Grace is coming to you in your heart. Grace is coming to you in your families. Grace is coming to you from every direction and in every way, in the name of Jesus. And as I share this word for you and this word to you about grace to you, I have an acronym. I've come up with an acronym for grace. In fact, I've come up with seven acronyms for this word. So I'm going to give you these seven definitions or these seven acronyms for the word grace really simply. And I hope that it really ministers to you as it has to me. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, it starts with God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, it says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Now, he says grace to you, and notice what happens after that. Grace to you, and what follows grace? Peace. Boy, if you're missing peace in your life right now, we get through a holiday, we experience the highs of Christmas, and then sometimes the day after, the lows of Christmas. But I'm sure you're not low compared to yesterday. But if you are, God's going to elevate you and raise you up, and you're going to experience the best days of your life. Peace always flows from an understanding of God's grace. Grace to you, and then peace flows. Grace to you, and then healing flows. Grace to you, and wisdom flows. Grace to you, and confidence flows. In every area of your life, grace to you. Grace, the first definition, God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. What are God's riches at Christ's expense? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare or withhold his only son. God didn't withhold Jesus. He didn't withhold his only son. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? In other words, if God didn't withhold Jesus from you, why do you think he'd be withholding an answer to your prayer? Why do you think he'd be withholding your healing? Why do you think he'd be withholding your family's restoration? Why do you think he would be withholding your needs to be met? You see, he's not withholding those things. And giving us Jesus is proof that if he gave us the best, he'll also give us the rest. If he gave us the best, Jesus is the best thing in the universe. If he didn't withhold what is most dear to him, why would he withhold the time you need, the finances you need, the job you need, the friends you need, the church you need, the family you need? Why would he withhold any of those things? He wouldn't, because he didn't withhold the very best thing in the universe, his son. God's riches at Christ's expense. When we talk about riches, we're talking about the riches of God. We're not talking about a limited definition of mere money. That's really not what we're talking about here in this verse and what God's talking about in this verse. He's talking about everything, all things. He said, freely he'll give us all things. So that can include money, but it's so much broader than that. And I wish Christians would understand that what Jesus paid for in his finished work on the cross covers anything and everything that you actually need in this life. If his grace didn't cover it, if his finished work doesn't supply it, you don't need it. If his finished work doesn't provide for it, it's something you really don't need, because his finished work supplies for everything that you'll ever need, now and for eternity. God's riches at Christ's expense. One more verse on this, and we'll go to number two. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, at the end of this verse, it says, of course, through one man's transgression, we all became sinners, and through one man's obedience, we all become righteous. And he says, through the abundance of grace, at the end of this verse, through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign. Well, a quick joke or story about the abundance of grace. When I tell you about the guy who was driving home one day after work and he forgot it was his daughter's birthday. So he stops at the mall and goes into the toy store, his young daughter, goes up to the manager and says, "How much for that Barbie doll?" And the manager said, "Which one? We got Barbie Goes to the Beach, $19.95. We got Barbie Goes to the Party, $19.95. We got Barbie goes shopping, $19.95. We got Barbie Goes to the Nightclub, $19.95. We got Barbie Goes to the Gym, $19.95. We have Barbie who's divorced Barbie, $475.99. The man looked at him, $475.99. Why is divorced Barbie $475.99, all the other Barbies $19.99? Manager looks at him and says, "That's easy, because divorced Barbie comes with Ken's cat, Ken's dog, Ken's house, Ken's furniture, Ken's car. Divorced Barbie comes with all of Ken's stuff." Let me encourage you about what abundance means through that silly joke. Abundance means that you get everything that God has. Everything that is His is yours. The prodigal son's brother said, "How could you waste your money on this son of yours that spent all he had and wasted all your money? And you've never done this for me. You've never given me a party. You've never killed the fatted calf for me." And the father said, "My son, my child, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is thine. All that is mine is yours." The father was saying everything that he had belonged to his sons. And you know, everything that God has belongs to us. We don't have to divorce to have those things like divorce Barbie. But in fact, we're divorced from the devil and we're united to Jesus. And by being united to him, we have the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. We might as well go right to number two here, since it's in the same verse. Through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we reign in life. So we now have God's righteousness at Christ's expense. So we have God's riches at Christ's expense, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says that Jesus himself, God, who knew no sin, Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us on the cross. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we would be made the righteousness of God. Do you know that there's nothing you can do to become righteous? There's nothing you can do to become more righteous. There's nothing you can do to earn righteousness, which simply means to be in right standing with God and have the rights of God. To be in right standing with God and to have the rights of God, or the family rights of God as your Heavenly Father. Righteousness means we stand before God as righteous. He sees us as He sees Jesus. The righteousness of God, that's a gift. The gift of righteousness is that God will never turn away from you now. You're not trying to earn His favor. It's a gift. The gift of righteousness. It literally means that we can stand before God at any time without God referencing our sin. He'll never reference your sin because He washed it all away. He'll never consider you to be the person you used to be because He made you born again, and you are now the righteousness of God. And the being the righteousness of God gives you the right to pray and see your prayers answered, gives you the right to get up when you fall, gives you the right to have favor surround you like a shield. There's so many benefits of being the righteousness of God. So grace is God's righteousness at Christ's expense. I hope you get a hold of this. God's riches at Christ's expense, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Many people have asked me, do I lose my righteousness? You cannot lose your righteousness because you've been made the righteousness of God. It's not something you obtain, therefore it's not something you can lose. Well, what if I do this and fail here and fall there and sin here? Well, that may have some consequences, but it has nothing to do with your righteousness. Nothing changes the fact that you are now the righteousness of God. God doesn't look at your past. He washed it away. If He washed it away, there's nowhere to find it. If He washed it away, it doesn't exist anymore. That's what it means to be the righteousness of God. To stand before Him without guilt, without fear, without condemnation, without shame. To be able to stand before the devil and speak with authority to the devil, and he'll flee because you are the righteousness of God. So God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's righteousness at Christ's expense. And third, grace is God's redemption at Christ's expense. I want you to think about this word, redemption. It's to redeem something, to be redeemed. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says so poignantly and so clearly, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Many people read in the Old Testament, if you don't obey everything in here, this curse will come upon you, and this curse will come upon you, and this curse will come upon you. And that's true. It will come upon you under the law. But the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for cursed is one that hangs on a tree. So when Jesus hung on the tree, He redeemed us. He became our redemption. Christ redeemed us. He bought us back from the curse. He bought us back and He said, this curse has no power over you anymore. He reversed the curse. Now we have verse 14, so that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through faith in the Spirit of God. That Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, the curse of failure, the curse of disease, the curse of sickness, the curse of family problems, the curse of emotional problems, the curse of financial problems. All those things are under the curse. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham would come upon each one of us through Jesus Christ. And how was Abraham blessed? Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 says, and Abraham was blessed in every way. God blessed Abraham in every way. In every way, does that include his body? In every way, does that include his health? In every way, does that include his finances? In every way, does that include his family? In every way, does that include his home? In every way, does that include his business? In every way, does that include his job? In every way. He said Abraham was blessed in all things. God blessed Abraham in all things. All is pretty definitive there. All is pretty absolute there. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. All the curses are broken because of the cross, and all the blessings are yours now because of the cross. Wow, He's our redemption, God's redemption at Christ's expense. So what have we learned so far, real quick? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E, grace is God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Number three, grace is God's redemption at Christ's expense. And number four, grace is God's restoration at Christ's expense. God's restoration at Christ's expense. I want you to end this year and go into the new year expecting God's restoration in your life at Christ's expense. Because of His death on the cross, He paid for us to have access to God's riches at His expense, God's righteousness at His expense, God's redemption at His expense, and God's restoration at Christ's expense, at Jesus Christ's expense. Think about that. He paid for you to have restoration. The Bible talks about how God will restore our hearts when they're broken. He'll restore our bodies when they're sick. He'll restore our finances when they've been devoured. He'll restore our family when it's been divided. He'll restore our soul. Psalm 23, the Lord will restore my soul, right? He'll restore finances in Luke chapter 15. He'll restore family members in Luke chapter 15. He'll restore your possessions in Luke chapter 15. All of these things are part of God's restoration of your life and in your life. Think about it. He said, I'll restore your health unto you, Jeremiah 30, verse 17. See, everything God promises, even if it's in the Old Testament, everything that is promised belongs to us because of the new covenant, belongs to us. Even if the blessing of the restoration of your health is written in Jeremiah, it applies to us under the new covenant because Jesus purchased it for us. And Jesus empowers us to experience this restoration. It's a beautiful gift, God's grace, God's restoration at Christ's expense. Is there something that's broken or wounded or damaged in your life that needs to be restored? Well, call on His name. Ask Him, Jesus, thank you that at your expense, I have access to restoration in my family. I have access to restoration in my soul, in my mind, in my emotions. My mind has been burned. My mind has been bruised. My emotions have been damaged. I feel like I lost my mind. I feel like I'm a little crazy sometimes. Well, guess what? God has given you the gift of restoration at Christ's expense. Your mind is going to be restored. Your finances that have been lost, whether it's due to COVID, whether it's due to a bad decision you made, whether it's due to what the devil has been trying to plan against you, God will restore it all. The Bible says if the thief is found, he must repay sevenfold. You know, whatever's been stolen from you, you shouldn't just expect it to come back to you. Whatever time, whatever money, whatever family, whatever people have been taken from you, I pray that you would get a hold of this, that at Christ's expense, we have the right to God's restoration of all those things, not just one, not just whatever we lost, we get it back. Whatever we lost, we get sevenfold back. So some places in the Bible say 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. There's no limits to what God can restore in your life. There's no limits to what God can do in your life. What needs to be restored in your life right now? Just pray this. I got a few more things and we'll close, but just pray this. Just say, Heavenly Father, right where you are, just say, Heavenly Father, thank you that grace is coming to me, that I have the grace of God, and I'm growing in the grace of God, and I have the right and access to the grace of God. Lord, I receive your restoration at Christ's expense. Father, I thank you. Just pray that. Father, I thank you for restoring my finances. Father, I thank you for restoring my health. Father, I thank you for restoring my family. Father, I thank you for restoring my mind. Father, I thank you for restoring my relationships. Thank you, Father, for restoring my dreams, my shattered dreams restored, my broken heart restored, my sick body restored, my broken finances, my broke finances restored in Jesus' name. Amen. You have every right that I have. We have the same rights because of Jesus, because of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, God's righteousness at Christ's expense, God's redemption at Christ's expense, God's restoration at Christ's expense. Number five, we have God's royalty at Christ's expense. God's royalty. The Bible says that we reign in life. We went over that verse in Romans 5:17. We reign in life. What about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6? Even though we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, and He has seated us, raised us up together, and seated us with Him in heavenly places. Seated us with Christ in heavenly places. We sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's restoration. Excuse me, that's royalty. You have divine royalty flowing through your veins. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, you know what it says there. Unto Him, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests. He has made us kings and priests. This is royalty. This is God's royalty at Christ's expense. Through his blood, you've been made a king. You've been made a priest. What do kings do? They rule. What do kings do? They possess their inheritance. They rule their country. They rule their sphere of influence. You're not created to be ruled by life. You're created to rule over it. You're not created inferior to the devil. You rule and reign over the devil. You are a king that Jesus is the king of. He's the king of kings, and you and I are the kings that he's the king of. We are raised up with him, seated with him, and we are now his royal children. We are his princes and princesses. What a powerful gift. And where did that come from? At what expense did it come from? At Christ's expense. You don't become a king. You don't earn your way to becoming a king. You have to be born into royalty. And guess what? When you're born again, you are born into royalty. Man, the devil's trying to knock your crown off. You straighten that crown on your head. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus said, "Let no one take your crown." Let no one take your crown. How could anyone take your crown if you never had one? Because you do have one. When you're born again, you are crowned as a king in Christ. You're the righteousness of God. You are royalty. And guess what royalty does? Royalty destroys inferiority. Every attitude you've had against yourself, every condemning thought you've had against yourself, every feeling of inferiority and insecurity that you've had against yourself, that is wiped away because you are the righteousness of God and you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And because of his blood, you are now, he's made you a king and a priest in Christ Jesus. And as a royalty in God's family, royalty now destroys every feeling of inferiority that you've ever had. Stop thinking you're inferior because of your age, your race, your color, your gender, your financial situation, how popular you are in this world. That means nothing to God. What matters to God is you understanding that you are walking in divine royalty because of the blood of Jesus at Christ's expense. Whew. You get a hold of this and you will never be able to be stopped, and you will never feel inferior another day in your life. And when I feel those thoughts try to come against me, I remind myself, straighten my crown out. Yeah, no one's taking this crown. I'm the royalty. I'm a son or daughter of God. So are you. Number six, grace is God's rest at Christ's expense. God's rest at Christ's expense. I love what he says. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I love that. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. The Bible says that we have access into the rest, God's rest, through Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus, we have rest for our soul. Our soul is restless without Christ. Our soul is restless without grace. Our soul is restless without God's riches at Christ's expense, without God's righteousness at Christ's expense, without God's redemption at Christ's expense, without God's restoration at Christ's expense, without God's royalty at Christ's expense, without God's rest at Christ's expense. Boy, you can have rest from now until Jesus returns. Rest doesn't just mean sleep. Rest means to be seated, right? We already went over that verse. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. He's made us to sit together with him. The reason why he says we're made to sit together with him is because sitting is an expression of rest. Sitting is not an expression of striving to try to make something happen. Sitting is a position of rest. And grace is God's rest at Christ's expense. And finally, number seven, grace is God's revival at Christ's expense. God's revival at Christ's expense. I believe we can live in the spirit of revival. And I'll tell you what it is very simply. When I show you this verse, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, in the WNT translation, I'm pulling one out from a place where you probably didn't even know this translation existed, but it's such a powerful verse, and it uses this word in it because it's what it meant. He says, "Repent therefore and reform your lives so that the record of your sins may be canceled and that there may come seasons of revival from the Lord." Focus on that, seasons of revival. revival from the Lord. Seasons of revival. He uses the word plural. So there are many seasons of revival. There's not just one season, there's many seasons of revival. And he uses the word repent there. So few Christians really understand what this word means. The word repent comes from the Greek word metanoia, metanoia or metanoia, and it means to change your mind or to think differently. To change your mind or to think differently. So when he says repent and reform your lives, he's saying change your mind and think differently about who God is, who you are, what Jesus has done for you. Think differently, and it will bring reformation. The result of thinking differently will bring reformation, which literally is translated as to come back to your senses. Repent, which means change the way you've been thinking. Change that old failure mentality. Change that old, get rid of that defeated mentality. Get rid of the victim's mentality. Change the belief that salvation is something that might happen or might come to some, but not to others. Change that thinking. It's through Jesus Christ. Revival comes not by how hard we pray. Revival comes not by if we're singing the right song. Revival comes when we expect it and when we change our thinking. Instead of expecting less, we expect more. Instead of expecting a season of doom and gloom, let's expect a season of revival. Instead of expecting things to get worse, let's expect a season of things getting better. Instead of things falling apart, let's believe for a season of things falling in place. Man, that's what you're coming into in the new year. That's what we're coming out of, and that's what we're going into, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. The word revival, by the way, means this. Watch this. A recovery of breath. Boy, who needs to catch your breath? The recovery of breath. The refreshing, a blowing of fresh air. This word also, literally translated, causing someone to recover a state of joy and encouragement after a time of anxiety and trouble. Boy, who wants revival now? When you understand the definition of it, revival is not God pointing out all your sins. Revival is recovering the state of joy, encouragement after a time of anxiety and trouble. Boy, we've had, last couple years have been a time of anxiety and trouble. And revival, God giving us revival, is He is giving us encouragement instead of anxiety, encouragement instead of trouble, the recovery of our breath instead of being out of breath, the recovery and restoration of all these things, the recovery of breath, a blowing of fresh air. There's a fresh air and a fresh wind coming to your life. That's the revival that came and comes at Christ's expense. We have the right to it, not because we've stood praying for year after year. We have the right to it because it's God's revival at Christ's expense. Grace. Grace. There you have it. The seven faces of grace. Expect them. They all come at Christ's expense, not at our own expense. That's what makes it grace. Amen. It's God's free, unmerited love and favor. And all of these things, from the beginning to the end, God's riches, God's righteousness, God's redemption, God's restoration, God's royalty, God's rest, God's revival.
Hey everyone, we hope you enjoyed that powerful message. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast for more amazing messages like what you just heard. You can also search for Gregory Dickow on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter for tons of great content throughout the week.